From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Emerging artist bumper music for the first couple hours tonight. Great artist. Later tonight, living off the grid. Here's what's happening. Protesters streamed into the nation's capital over the weekend for what was expected to be the city's largest demonstration yet against police brutality. While George Floyd was mourned in his North Carolina hometown, where hundreds of mourners lined up to squeeze into a church to pay their last respects. Military vehicles and officers in fatigues closed off much of a downtown Washington, D.C. area to traffic ahead of the planned march, which authorities estimated would attract up to 200,000 people outraged by Floyd's death 12 days ago at the hands of a policeman in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was one thing in 2016 for top Republicans to take a stand against Donald Trump for president. They believed he wasn't likely to win anyway, the thinking went, and there was no ongoing conservative governing agenda that would be endangered, they felt. Well, the 2020 campaign is now different, with a number of people, including former President George Bush, saying they will not support the reelection of President Trump. Same with Senator Mitt Romney of Utah and also Colin Powell. What's happening here? We'll continue to watch that story. Experts and officials warning about a possible increase of the coronavirus infections. States continued this week to ease restrictions. Thousands of people took to the streets nationwide to protest against the killing of George Floyd in police custody. Nationally, there have been more than 1.87 million confirmed cases, and so far more than 108,000 deaths so far from COVID-19. We have created a perfect storm for diseases from wildlife to spill over into humans and spread quickly around the world, according to scientists. Human encroachment on the natural world speeds up that process. This outlook comes from global health experts who study how and where new diseases emerge. Let's check in with the author of MyHeartBook.com, Christian Wild, and get his weekly take on the coronavirus. Christian, what do you have for us?
Well, George, I have always hoped to find something positive to report, pardon me, for whatever topic we've talked about through the years. That's including Ebola and HIV, heart disease, and the COVID virus, which is making it more and more difficult to find anything positive to share with your audience. While experts are predicting a viable vaccine within a year, possibly 2 years, and they are currently having five promising vaccine candidates in the pipeline, proving one in this short time would be a monumental accomplishment and hopefully not too optimistic. When we consider it took 8 years to develop a vaccine for Ebola and 35 years for a vaccine for HIV, which we finally saw just this last year. The one thing, George, I can favorably report to you tonight is not everyone who contracts the virus is dying from it. And that That's message right. may have gotten lost somewhere along the way. I realize I'm trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, but as of yesterday, there have been to date 1,958,700 COVID-19 cases in the United States, with 111,367 deaths, which would indicate that we might be grateful, along with some families, 1,847 and 280 families who have survived this killer. Globally, there have been confirmed 6,855,900 cases, but 3,071,403 recovered. And we don't seem to get that. We only get the doom and gloom of how many people got it and how many died.
We're also not getting the current flu anymore. We're getting no statistics on the so-called seasonal flu.
And have you followed that beautifully? And this year, I guarantee a lot more people, through your advocacy, are going to go down and have that flu shot. Our friends in Canada, George, have reported 95,700 cases, with Quebec having the highest number of 52,000 857. Our friends to the south in Mexico are having a real resurgence of the virus, and the president of Mexico is preparing to open up his country. Two experts, two of the ultimate experts, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious, said on Friday he's concerned that the widespread protests taking their place across the country could raise the risk of new COVID-19 outbreaks as the country seeks to reopen. And CDC Director Robert Redfield stated 2 days ago he was concerned that the agency's public health message on COVID is not resonating with the public and not being taken seriously as the number of new cases continue to rise across the United States. Health experts are expressing agreement that the large protest and removal of social distancing may have sparked another resurgence over the next 10 to 14 days.
Well, my jury's out on Fauci, to be sure. And Christian, over the July 4th weekend, there were hundreds of thousands of people in Missouri at the Lake Ozarks, and no reports of anyone coming down with COVID. But I've got a new assignment for you. Go online, Google, look for a scientist in the Netherlands who believes that COVID-19 was made in a laboratory, as I've been saying for months now. But check that out for us, and I'd like you to do a story on us. Christian's website, myheartbook.com, myheartbook.com. His phone number to call if you need any types of health assistance. He'd be more than happy to help you. 1-866-STEM, S-T-E-M, 123. 1-866-STEM, 123. A new study from scientists at Yale University have found where stress lives in the brain, higher levels of stress are found in the hypothalamus. The lower stress are found in the dorsal lateral frontal cortex. Now, what the heck does this all mean? Let's check in with resident psychiatrist Dr. Peter Breggin. Peter, what does this mean?
Oh, it means they're looking for drug company money, George.
Oh, boy.
Got this Regina Senha commenting on it, and she says these findings, she's one of the of the numerous authors, these findings may help us tailor a therapeutic intervention to multiple targets. And I'm telling you, she's got multiple targets in mind in your brain. And my advice to the general public is don't let anybody target multiple places in your brain. It's all about not looking what how human beings live, what we do, how we work, what our real stresses are. It's all about making believe we found it in the brain. And the press release isn't aimed at us. It's aimed at some drug company executive who's going to say, that sounds like a marketing campaign to me. Let's try a drug. It's bad, George. We really need to get over the idea that science is going to solve these problems. By the way, they put the people through functional MRIs. The last time I was in an MRI, it so stressed me that
I can't go in that tube. I can't go in it.
Yeah, I think, well, it was just multiple targets were just bouncing around in your brain, George, and they're looking for them.
Well, they've got this new one that they call an open MRI, which they trick you, and all it is they still push you inside of it, but you're sitting. You're not lying down. It's crazy.
Well, George, human beings, we are not going to connect the functioning of our brain to what really matters in our lives, probably ever. Because what really matters in our lives is how we have courage, how we have strength, how we love, how we find people to love. And all of this kind of stuff that we're bombarded with about, hey, we found it in your brain, it's really just part of an unending ad campaign for interventions into the brain from the pharmaceutical industry. We need to protect ourselves from that.
Keep monitoring all of that. Peter's website, his last name, Breggin.com. He's author of a number of books, including Medication Madness. And by the way, I just can't go in those MRI tubes. I just can't. I hope when the day comes that I die, I'm really gone. Because if they put me in a coffin and I'm still alive, I think I'll go nuts. Tropical storm Cristobal is spawning damage and tornadoes all over Florida, and two brothers in Louisiana, 8 and 10, were killed as well. The third named storm of the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season made landfall Sunday along the Gulf Coast after spawning a damaging tornado in Florida, churning up dangerous seas as well. Scientists have discovered a potentially habitable exoplanet and its star that they say are a mirror image of Earth and the Sun. Experts from the Max Planck Institute for Solar Research in Germany led an international team of astronomers in the discovery. This star system is 3,000 light years away from the solar system, but who knows, there could be life there. Up next, we're going live to the Netherlands, Catherine Austin Fitz. We're going to talk about your money. We're going to talk about vaccines and some other issues next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're going live to the Netherlands now. Catherine Austin Fitz with us, of course, former investment banker, and she was serving as the Assistant Secretary of Housing and Federal Housing and Development at HUD in the first Bush administration. Catherine, welcome to the program. What are you doing way out there?
Oh, George, I was here working. You know, I was here for business when the COVID-19 hit. So I ended up, they canceled the flight. I ended up staying here. And if you look at what I was doing here, it was delayed by the COVID-19, so I'm trying to finish it. And before we start, I just have to compliment you on having Peter Bregan on. What a wonderful way to start my morning.
Yeah,
he's
a delightful guy.
He's one of my heroes, and what an incredible guy. So inspirational to start off listening to him.
If I ever need to go to a psychiatrist, he's the one I want to go to.
I don't think you're ever going to need to go to a psychiatrist, George.
I hope not. Hey, let me ask you this. I don't want to dwell on politics at all, but George Bush, first Bush's son, of course, refuses to endorse Donald Trump for president in the reelection. And that Mitt Romney's jumped aboard. What's going on here?
Oh, I think it's a combination of things. If you look at what Trump has been doing, it's probably not good for the Bush interests or as well as they think they can do if they jump. So you're watching a pile on from the old Republican sort of Rockefeller line. You had Mattis come out. You've had sort of intimations from the old George Shultz group. So I think there's a lot of politicking coming into the election. It's June. It's much too early to see how things fall out. But the reality is we're in the middle of a radical reengineering of the U.S. government and political systems. And so it's what I call the Midianite thing. The factions and the fighting is on.
I read your article that you've got in the Solari Report about the injection fraud. It's not a vaccine. Let's talk a little bit about this. As you know, Catherine, we were one of the first to report on this story, the coronavirus. Initially, what I saw and what interests me is because we handle so many strange, curious, and bizarre programs and stories on this show, I saw the little tiny blip when really nobody in the country was talking about it, that this thing happened from a snake or a bat in a market in Wuhan, China. And I saw that and went, boy, this is weird. So I used the story, and a couple days later, I found out there was a laboratory in Wuhan and that it could have originated there. I believe it now. And then I find out we've given that lab $3.7 million. We've been studying coronaviruses for years with the Chinese. Unbelievable. But give me your thoughts and give us a paraphrase of this article, which people can see by going to the SolariReport.com, SOLARI.com. You don't have to say report, Solari.com. But tell us about your thoughts about this injection fraud.
So, George, I when COVID-19 first started to happen, a lot, it's like many of the things you and I deal with, the official story didn't make sense. And so the question was, why, what was going on? And I was in the middle of watching the currency markets and running a piece called State of Currency. And what I came to the conclusion of rather quickly, this was the next step in the currency war. Because a lot has happened that has defended the dollar, protected the dollar from what was going on called de-dollarization, but also an effort was being made to use to accelerate the new system, which is basically the desire to use nanotechnology and brain-machine interface to essentially hook us up to the cloud and replace the financial transaction systems, basically cancel currency at the retail level and replace it with a credit system. And, you know, the problem for me is this is really the end of freedom and the institution of slavery. And to jump ahead, if you're a Christian, you know what this is. It's called the mark of the beast. Anyway, so I had had a lot of experience indirectly with vaccines because for 10 years I was an investment advisor to individual families. And what happened was many of the families who came to seek my help had been devastated financially and emotionally in every other which way by vaccines. And I mentioned in the article that one of the families in the Vaxxed movies, which I strongly recommend, both Vaxxed and
great.
Now Vaxxed 2, had said that if you have a heavily autistic child or a heavily vaccine-damaged child, it will cost you $5 million present value. And that resonated very much with what my experience was. So you're talking about something that just devastates families. And one of the things I discovered, it wasn't just vaccines, but if you look at chronic disease in children, the estimated chronic disease in American children is 54%, and doctors that I work with and trust say it's much higher, because many families can't afford to do the proper testing, et cetera, and they would say it's as high as 70. But whether it's 54% or 70%, you're talking about essentially destroying the next couple of generations and tremendous, tremendous heartache and financial pressure. I mean, this can really destroy a family and siblings and family future financially. Anyway, so investment advisory really got me looking into, well, what's going on and why, you know, why are Americans basically being destroyed by heavy metals poisoning? Most of it was, you know, what I believe was heavy metals. Anyway, fast forward to COVID-19, I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And if you look at the pressure, so Bill Gates starts marketing, you know, sort of vaccines in combination with digital ID and all sorts of stuff. I started looking, and it started with Charles Lieber's arrest. Charles Lieber was a professor, head of the chemistry department at Harvard, who was working with the Wuhan lab. And if you look at Lieber Research, which is his company website, they are leaders in brain-machine interface.
Jeez.
So I took one look at that, and my question on Wuhan was it a brain-machine interface injection prototype that went bad? So I started to look into it, and what I realized, I was in the process about a month ago of reading Mary Holland's wonderful articles. She's vice chairman of Children's Health Defense, which is a wonderful group that's trying to do something about it, and she had written an article for the Yale Law Journal in 2012 about was on vaccine laws by Supreme Courts, both the federal and national. So I'm reading this article, and if you're interested in vaccine law, I think it's really the best I've found.
Sure, and it protects all the pharmaceutical companies, doesn't it?
Well, here's the problem. In 1986, a law was passed, or in the 80s, a law was passed that gave the pharmaceutical companies complete freedom from liability. And since then, the political pressure to explode the pharmaceutical schedule has skyrocketed. And now there's 72 vaccines which are recommended for children. And there's no, this is what's so frightening about it, there's
72.
No science that proves that any one of them is safe and effective, let alone you put all 72, you know, as a cocktail in children's bodies. It's pretty frightening. But it's phenomenally profitable, particularly if you can get it mandated. Anyway, so I'm reading this article, and I had this creepy feeling, and suddenly I realized if you look at what has now been proven to be in this stuff, you've got there's a group, a wonderful group in Italy in 2017 that took 41 vaccines and started to look at what was in them. And these are not... you know, vaccine under law is defined as medicine. These are not medicine. These are nanoparticles. You have, you know, I think it's probably nanotechnology. You've got aborted fetal cells. You've got all sorts of animal stuff. If you look at the cocktail of what's in this stuff, this is not medicine. This is something else, particularly if I'm correct. If I'm correct that the goal here is to replace the dollar at a retail transaction level with a credit system, this is an injection of high-tech stuff. Now, interestingly enough, the president just appointed, you know, they have a new program to accelerate COVID-19 vaccines. It's called Operation Warp Speed. The guy they put in charge of it was the head of the research lab at GlaxoSmithKline.
Oh, great. Another pharmaceutical. Hold on for a second, Catherine. We're at the break. We'll come back with more. And we're going to return in a moment with Catherine Austin Fitz as we talk about the COVID-19, the injection fraud. It's not a vaccine. She's got that up on our website that we have linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And next hour, we'll open up the phone lines and chat with Catherine. Take your calls. She is live in the Netherlands. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you this Sunday night with Catherine Austin Fitz, who happens to be out there in the Netherlands. She was out there on business and got stuck with the COVID-19. When do you come back, Catherine? Do you have any idea?
I'm not 100% certain, but I'd love to come back sometime, certainly by this fall if possible.
Oh, my gosh. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. So you're saying that some executive from a pharmaceutical company is heading up an organization dealing with vaccines. Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Well, I would say it's an enormous conflict of interest. There was a... The president created an entity, I don't know what it is legally, called Operation Warp Speed to facilitate the creation of COVID-19. I call it injectables because I don't think they're medicine. Anyway, but the guy he chose was head of research at GlaxoSmithKline, whose expertise and leadership was leading bioelectronics, including brain-machine interface. So I feel like every time you turn around, there's another guy trying to stick nanotechnology into our brains. So you can read, there's a 2012 article from Financial Times highlighting their expertise in bioelectronics and brain-machine interface. Anyway, so my concern is that what we're really looking, among other things, is a radical re-engineering in the economy, but part of that is getting retail transactions off the dollars and into what I call a credit system, because if you go to these kinds of digital and all digital systems, George, you're talking about the end of currency. You're talking about a credit system where the currency in my pocket is worth something different than the currency in your pocket, because if I don't behave well, they can shut it off or change the value of it.
Sure.
So this is a real control system. This is really not even a financial system. It's a control system, and it's something you've been talking about for years. So, and it integrates political control with financial transactions in a much tighter way than has ever happened before. So I think these guys are out marketing it, and I was reading Mary Holland's article, as I was telling you, and I realized, oh, my God, because something was wrong, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then I realized, the reason they're describing this as a vaccine is not because it's a vaccine, but because then they have no liability. It's much more profitable. It's under law, you can get everybody to believe it's a vaccine. Then under law, you are protected from liability, and your profits are much greater, and you have the protection of 100 years of vaccine law. And I realized, that's why they're calling it a vaccine. Under law, a vaccine is medicine. This is not medicine. And if you look at the Italian study of what's in these things, this is not medicine.
No.
At all.
No.
No.
You have talked about health issues are financial drivers. Now, what does that mean?
So we've had an extraordinary deterioration in the quality of the food system, as well as an increase in environmental pollution. And what I discovered as an investment advisor is the kind of time and attention you needed to spend on making sure you were healthy 50 years ago is totally, when I grew up, is totally different than what a family needs to now. And families were running their money according sort of to traditional practice. And what I discovered was that they were literally being financially drained or bankrupted by these health issues, whether it was heavy metals poisoning, whether it was from environmental pollution or vaccines or bad food or the spraying overhead. And they really needed to rethink how they managed their investment of time and money to really ensure that they were healthy. In other words, health was a very important part, and how you managed your health was a very important part of your finances. And not just in the nuclear family, because what would happen if somebody had, if a kid got heavy metals poisoning and then autism, it would cost the much wider family money, because oftentimes it was other members of the family, the grandparents, who had the money. And so it could really, the devastation really rippled out. Anyway, so what I used to try and do is get families to really focus on looking at their money on a very, very integrated basis, because in fact, there are different ways of earning money that could generate more money technically, but if you look at the health impact or the expenses, on a net basis, your equity value is not going up. So we used to do a lot on family wealth. I have a wonderful Solari report on family wealth with a guy named Jay Hughes that really talks about, you know, I'm always saying, don't worry if there is a conspiracy. If not, you're not in one, you need to start one. How can families get together and think in very strategic ways about helping them be successful? And health is a big, 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 big part of that.
If there's fraud involved here with COVID-19, you create the disease, you create the virus, and then you try to create the vaccine to fight it, and you make money on that in a big, big way. Would they actually do that to us, Catherine?
So let me not speak about COVID-19, because I think that's a complex phenomenon, but I do think the history of what's called virus mania is definitely a history of using viruses, whether they're made up or exaggerated, to achieve strategic goals. So, and a lot of it is to protect industry from liability. So say you have a pesticide that's causing people to get very sick, and you want to stop using the pesticide for obvious reasons. The problem, you know, then people will figure out that you're liable, and you could lose hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, you know, on lawsuits and litigation. You know, you attribute it to a virus, you give everybody a vaccine, you declare victory, you say the guy who made the vaccine is a hero. You know, it's a great way to manage risk. So I think throughout history, you know, we've seen virus mania used in those ways. There's a great book called Virus Mania, and there's a wonderful article, a series of books by a guy named Forrest Moretti, who's written very deeply about this. So I think those issues are upon us. What I do think, George, is if you look at what's going on now, put it aside from COVID-19, is a real effort to consolidate the financial coup that we've talked about many times, right, that occurred in America from 1998 to now, and to re-engineer government and to privatize and sort of change how government works, because government finances have to change. And so we're in a reengineering, and of course the big part of that is the dollar's been the reserve currency since World War II and is really under de-dollarization pressure. There's tremendous tensions globally about whether the dollar is going to continue to be used to control a lot of the countries in the emerging markets that are growing very fast, including China. And so what you're looking at is a major economic and currency war, and whatever is going on in COVID-19, it plopped down into the middle of that. And so I think a lot of the changes we're dealing with have nothing to do with COVID-19 and sort of what's going on in a health respect.
With all these stimulus packages that have been coming out since the coronavirus situation, is that going to hurt the dollar in the long run or short term?
It depends on their plan. I mean, basically what you're doing is you're printing money, giving it, this is grossly oversimplification, but you're printing money, giving it to one group, smashing the economy, which means that group can turn around and buy everything cheap. So think of it this way. You're putting the whole globe in what's called I call it a bear dollar trap. So, for example, the states can't print money. You do a series of things that shuts down the state and city economy, so revenues collapse, but meantime they're still liable to pay the debt. And now the Fed's going around, they just lent $1.2 billion to Illinois. So you've got, you know, by sort of diminishing or cutting everybody's revenue, you've put them in a debt trap and the creditors can control. So if you want to come in and re-engineer local government, the creditors have the control from behind the scenes to do that.
Interesting. Now, you have looked at all of this.
It's an invasion by financial means. It's very clever.
When you look at the Revelation, and you have, and I have, biblical Revelation, and they talk about the 666, the mark of the beast, and all that, are we headed that way with all of this?
Well, if you look at what Gates and his pals are proposing, you know, and he's trying to backpedal and say, you know, oh, those are just conspiracy theories. But if you really look at what he's proposing, the way to understand it is not by reading the Bible. The way to understand it is to understand how, if everybody can remember how frustrated they were with their Microsoft operating system and constantly having to be given updates.
And they're still doing that to us.
As a result of viruses. And then the rumors that the NSA and lots of people had a backdoor into your data, including Mr. Gates. So basically what you had was you had an operating system that didn't have integrity. It gave other people access to your data, and it was deeply frustrating because it was always sort of messing up. Anyway, just like Gates did that to your computer, now I think he wants to do it to your body. And it's the thing to understand is it's a phenomenally profitable model. I mean, what you're talking about is if you can put a Microsoft operating system into every human being and hook it up to the DoD Jedi contract cloud and the Amazon cloud at the CIA, you're talking about something that's going to make the people who control that trillions and trillions of dollars. Think of data as the new oil is the expression. And this is going to give you the mother load of data, not just to use, but remember that the guy who has the most successful AI is the guy who has the most data. And imagine the amount of data you can hook every car, every house, but every human being up to your clouds and apply AI, then, you know, you're going to be the wealthiest person in the history of the world. So I don't think it's one person. I think it's the syndicate.
Catherine, go ahead. Go ahead.
The financial pressure to do this is extreme.
There seems to be some tensions between China, Russia, the United States, more so on the Chinese, between the Chinese and U.S. than us and Russia, but it's there. And China now is threatening Taiwan. They're doing all kinds of things that are very strange. What's happening there?
Excuse me, George.
Sure.
So what China's been trying to do is build out liquidity, global liquidity for their currency. And the most important step, if they want to keep doing that, is to take control of the sea lanes in the South China Sea. And that includes, you know, one of their long-term goals has to retake Taiwan and to integrate China into one nation. So if they can take control of Hong Kong and use Hong Kong as a global sort of liquidity center for their currency, you know, right now it's Hong Kong is dollar-based or is pegged to the dollar, and then they can take Taiwan and take control of the South China Sea lanes, that's going to be a very big step up in terms of building their global currency liquidity. It's a major power position. And, of course, the big question for both the U.S. and China is who's going to be the hegemon in Asia? Because the day that China takes control of those sea lanes, then you're going to have to see all the countries around East Asia and even into the subcontinent totally shift their relations away from the U.S. and into China. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Bushies are talking about not supporting Trump. They're interested in seeing if they can't engineer a candidate in the Republican convention who's going to, they think is going to do a better job of maintaining hegemony in Asia.
Doesn't the president have enough delegates, electoral delegates, to get nominated again?
I think so. You know, I don't know. It's still very young. And if you look at the unbelievable, I mean, the United States right now is acting in so many different ways outside of the Constitution, and the situation is so fluid.
It's bizarre.
It's beyond bizarre. So I think you've got a lot of factions fighting, and if you look at the some of the things they're angling to do in terms of central control of the economy, you know, different factions, the the stakes are very, very high. So if anything, if you watch all the players, it looks like they've kind of been driven crazy by the greed. You know, you've got a real greed problem going on.
Well, with Catherine Austin Fitz, we're going to take phone calls with Catherine next hour here on Coast to Coast. Catherine, you just interviewed one of our dear guests, Richard Dolan, who's an expert on UFOs, about the Pentagon's admission that those UFO videos were authentic. They didn't say they were extraterrestrial, but they did say they were unidentified. Why'd you interview Dolan?
So here, it's very important, and this gets back to the question of what is the credit of a U.S. Treasury and what's going on in the fixed income markets. So you and I have talked for many times. The U.S. government doesn't have information sovereignty. So the president can't call the Australian, you know, the head of Australia without 17 intelligence agencies listening and leaking it. Okay, so we don't have information sovereignty. We don't have financial sovereignty. You know, we've talked about the bailouts and all the missing money and the dependency of the government on the New York Fed member banks. But now the Pentagon is saying that despite a $738 billion a year budget and $1 trillion a year on average of undocumentable adjustments for the last 20 years, they're saying they don't control their airspace. So if a government doesn't have information sovereignty, it doesn't have financial sovereignty, and it doesn't control its airspace, is it sovereign?
That's a good point. Catherine, we're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls with you. I've got a few more questions about what's going on with the Federal Reserve and how that affects all of us as well. Catherine Austin Fitz with us. Her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She's got an incredible newsletter you can sign up for. She's at solari.com, S-O-L-A-R-I.com. She's also got a book out there called Dylan Reed. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.